truly it was a glorious night when Christ was born. We're so grateful that he came into this world to save us, to redeem us. And I give him praise and all the glory today. We've got a couple of things that we're going to be doing today. One is I'm going to preach very quickly. But then after that, we're going to have the announcements, and then we'll conclude this service with the lighting of the candles representing the Advent. We've talked about that. And then we're going to have communion. We reflect on the glory and the praises that God is deserving of because he's our Lord and Savior. One verse comes to our attention today, and that is love says it all. Love says it all. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The candle that we light today is all about love. It's all about God's love. Why Christ? Where they were going through such turmoil, Christ came. We're going to share with you today the subject, love says it all. You may be seated. Love says it all. If you want to keep standing to stay warm, you can do that too. Advent is that time that we celebrate the coming of Christ into the world. And what we've said for these Sundays now is that we don't want to celebrate in the same way that the world does. Many will do it in a secular way. Many will do it not to honor Christ, but to share things or to give something, and that's fine. They'll celebrate, but they're doing it without understanding the intensity of what it meant for Christ to come into this world. And ladies and gentlemen, the greatest verse that could ever be written in the Bible is in John 3:16. One of my professors said in the seminary that if you can't preach John 3:16, you flat out can't preach. But I want to share with you from this one verse today what Christ meant when he came into this world, what God was doing in that he sent Emmanuel, God with us, into this world to redeem us from our sin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There are five extremes of God's love that we need to take note of today. Five extremes of God's love. The word so signifies that God didn't just love the world in an ordinary way. God loved the world in an extraordinary way. God loved the world so much that he was willing to sacrifice his best for us. That's amazing. That's amazing love. That's God's love. He went to the extreme. God went to the extreme when he loved you. He went to the extreme when he loved me. And for those of you that are online, God so loved the world. No one could love the world like God did. No one could give what God gave. And God gave that when he sent Jesus. So when we celebrate Christmas, you can't really focus on Christmas unless you look at it as God's gift. He gave it as his gift to you and me. And while there are other things that might honor God and glorify him, we see in the universe that God has made. And did you not know that we're in just one of millions of galaxies? That's how great your God is. Do you realize that God puts intricate detail into everything that he makes? I watch the butterfly, how it changes from a worm into something that has wings and has beautiful colors. That's the amazing God that you serve. But the greatest miracle, the greatest event of all times, was when Christ landed on this planet. And I'm telling you, God could have sent anything. He could have done anything, that, and we would have known, never have known the difference. But God so loved that world. He loved this world in which fallen humanity, and right now bombs are dropping on somebody's head. Right now, violence is being committed someplace. Did God know about it? Yes, He knew about it. But God so loved the world. He loved us anyway. Despite our imperfections, despite our flaws, God loved us anyway. The second extreme that God went to is when He gave that gift. And notice it's an unusual gift, and there's only one of them. God gave not just something, but He gave His only begotten Son. Irreplaceable. Magnificent. Here's the thing that troubles my mind, or I can't wrap my mind against it. How in the world could all of God squeeze into a little bitty baby? Born in a manger. Born to save humanity. That's how much God loved you. Why, He could have sacrificed all of the angels, and we would have never known the difference. He could have made more, but He only had one begotten Son. That's what God was sending into this world when He so loved the world. But there's another extreme. There's another extreme in this verse. Whosoever. Many of us, when we make a contract on an agreement, we would make it with specific people. You would write their name there. But so broad and so magnificent is God's love that He put a whosoever there. Knowing that if anybody and everybody, the entire world for all time, if they need the gift, here it is. As a matter of fact, I'm expecting someone today to put their name there. You can't just say, I'm going to make a promise if there's not a person, a recipient in mind. Did God do all of this in vain? No, He did not. He knew that His love was so attractive. He knew that His love was so embracing that the worst sinner could fall on their knees and say, God, would You forgive me? There's your name right there. The whosoever. Only God would do something like that. Only God would provide for those who are in need. As wicked as we were, as bad off as we were, the drug addict can come, the murderer can come, the rapist can come, the gambler can come. All of them can come because they would fit that description as whosoever. There are no qualifications except one. There are no specific things that you need to do. And I thought about it as Reverend Gibbons brought out in the lesson this morning. All of the other religions of the world tell you you need to do something. But this verse tells you God did something because He knew that you couldn't do what was required. So whosoever becomes you and me. Whosoever becomes anybody that will have nerve or would believe enough to say, God, thank You. Thank You for Your precious gift. Somebody can say amen right there. But the fourth thing that God did, that's an extreme, He dealt with the fact that you and I were perishing. As good as you might feel, as wonderful as you think life might be, every one of us were on the road called perishing. And it ended up in a place called destruction. It's one thing just to die, but it's another thing to perish. Jesus saved you not so that you might not die, but that you would not perish. Perish means there's nothing for you to hope in. Perish means everything is gone. Perish simply means you are destroyed forever and forever. Revelation gives us a picture of perishing, where all of those who reject God, who deny God, will be thrown into a lake of fire. People say, well, you're going to hell. Hell is going to be cast into that lake of fire. It's going to be destroyed because God came to save those who are perishing. Guess what? I was perishing. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But then the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters He lifted me. Now saved am I. You and I were perishing. But thank God for salvation. Thank God for Jesus. If He had not come, all of the human race, all of the world for all of time would have perished and died. But yet Jesus came. And I'm telling you, when He landed in Bethlehem's manger, when he came down and was born of a virgin. People said, well, how can you believe that? I can believe it because the Word said it. In the book of Genesis, it said that Jesus would be born of the seed of a woman, not of the seed of a man. God had blessed Mary in such a special way. I don't know how to do it. Scientists can't describe it. But I can tell you one thing. Jesus was born of a virgin. How do you know that, preacher? Because one day when I believed in him, something got a hold of me. The grace of God got a hold of my heart, picked me up and turned me around and placed my feet on solid ground. I'm like, God, I know I'm saved. I may not know everything. I may not be able to be a Albert Einstein, but I tell you what, I'm William Coleman, and I love Jesus. He went to the extreme. And what I'm trying to argue with you, what I'm trying to get you to understand is that you and I, in our faith, we have to put our faith on the line. We have to say, Lord, I believe. I know I've got doubts. I know I've got maybe some reservation about it, but I believe. My question to you today is, do you believe? Do you believe that he's real? Do you believe that he's God? Do you believe that he can raise you up? Do you believe that he can save you? Do you believe he can fill you with his Spirit? You've got to believe. The final thing that he did, that he went to extreme. Not only was it a fact that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, I usually don't give people something unless I got a duplicate of it. Come on, somebody. But he gave his only. And one interpretation said his one and only son, which meant there could be no other. He gave that for you, that whosoever, anybody could walk up and receive it. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Then he says that you would not perish. But look at the last extreme. Look at that final extreme that he gives to you. He gives to you eternal life, everlasting life, life that has no end. Now please bear in mind, this life is not talking about existence. Just to exist for all of eternity doesn't mean anything. But in the life that Jesus gives you, they put it in the Greek in this word called Zoe, which means the life of God. In him was life, and he gave you and me that life so that we could live as children of God. I'm telling you what a Savior we serve. Oh, but he had to go through some barriers. There were some barriers, and before I close today, I want to give you the three barriers. Three things that can keep you from being saved. Three things that can keep you from realizing and receiving God's best. The first one is called selfish fascination. Long before the cell phone was invented, people were taking selfies of themselves. They were trying to paint the picture that I'm all that. They had all the talent, all the gifts. They could do this and they can do that, but you couldn't save yourself. You had to have a Savior. You had to have a God who would reach down, who would condescend to your level and bring you out of darkness into the marvelous light. God did an inventory of every human on the face of this planet. He counted everyone to see if there was anyone that was righteous. Romans 3:10 says that after the count, God concluded there's none righteous. No, not a single one. Isn't that something? But guess what? He came anyway. Look at somebody, tell him he came anyway. Then we come back to this verse. All of those who were in themselves, who felt like, well, I got it in myself. You cannot save yourself. You don't even know what the next second is going to bring, much less what eternity is going to bring. You need a God to save you. You need somebody to pick you up and turn you around. Do I have a witness? God is good. I don't care if I lose my voice. Amen. Thank God I'm not going to lose my life. I'm going to preach today. But not only was it a barrier of self, but then there was a barrier also of sin itself. Sin that tempted mankind. Sin that got people to the place where they were saying, I would get out if I could get out. Satan had you bound. Sin was all in your life. You know how it is. We call it addiction. And there's nothing wrong with that, because there is treatment for some things that people have. But when you got sin, the only treatment is the blood of Jesus. I'm going to preach up in here today. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. Do I have somebody that know what I'm talking about? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If you had it way in the world, you'd still be out there drunk as everybody else. Come on, talk to me in here. High as everybody else. Amen, somebody. Hanging out just like everybody else. Amen. Talking about, oh, what a night. Huh? Let me tell you something. Oh, what a night when Christ was born. I feel like preaching. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. When he was born in Bethlehem's manger, when he landed in Bethlehem's manger, he was sinless. He had no sin. But you had all sin. You and me, we were filthy in the eyes of God. But it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he that knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Isn't that something? In other words, he took what you had so that you could get what he had. He had righteousness. He had holiness. He had power. You had nothing. He took your place. He died for your sin. He turned you around. Now you are a new creature in Christ. I wish I could preach up in here. Two more minutes and I'm done. But not only were we under selfish, amen, all of our selfishness and the determination to do things our way and the contamination of sin, but we were under Satan's domination. Oh, great God, I wish I could preach this thing the way I feel it right now. God could have sent his mighty angels. He could have sent Gabriel and all of the forces of heaven to fight the battle against Satan. But no, God said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to send a baby. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? God said, let me put everything in Jesus. It may not look like much right now. It may just look like a little bundle laying in a manger. But in that manger is the power of God Almighty. In that manger is the Savior of the world. Let me tell you what Jesus did for us. You know how the Bible said that the same Christ that was born, that he died on Calvary's cross. Amen. They took God's love and they thought, well, if we just crucify him, that'll get rid of him. So they nailed him to the cross. But you can't keep love on the cross. Love was stretched out for you and me. Love was laid in a tomb so that on that third day, love began to rise up out of that grave. And listen, when Jesus rose from the grave, he didn't just say, I got all power. He went to death and said, give me your keys. He went to hell and said, give me your keys. Give me your dominion, because I'm not just going to walk out of here. I'm going to walk out with all power. I'm telling you what the Bible says about you and me. This is not just Christmas for us. This is freedom. This is saying we're no longer bound by the devil. People talk about, amen, Satan had me bound, but love lifted me. Let me tell you how love did it. When Jesus got up from the grave, the Bible tells us in Colossians that we were under the dominion of Satan. We were under the dominion of darkness. But when Christ got up from the grave, he went over to darkness and said, wait a minute, you got some folk that belong to me. You got some believers that are my children, and I want you to let them go. Matter of fact, I'm not just going to tell you to let them go. I'm going to snatch them from you. And the Bible tells us that that same Jesus that rose from the grave took you out of darkness and translated you into the kingdom of his dear son. Amen. You are saved today. You're in the kingdom today because of what Christ Jesus, what he did for you and me. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Love, love, love says it all. Love came down from heaven, even though it was conceived by Mary. Amen. Love landed in the manger, and that baby began to cry from the manger. Do I have a witness here? And when the baby cried from the manger, the angels in glory stood at attention, and God dispatched a multitude, said, go down there and light up the sky. Let the shepherds know that a Savior is born. Do I have a witness here? Oh, when the baby cried, when the baby cried, a star that was in his orbit shook loose and said, wait a minute. I'm going to go over here to the wise men, and I'm going to show them that a Savior is born. And they began to guide the wise men until it came and stood over where Jesus was. Have a light? Do you have a hope? Do you have joy? Do you have peace? Do you have Jesus? If you got Jesus, you got everything that you need. Shout yes, somebody. I'm done. But that's what Jesus means to me, because love said it all. Look at somebody, tell them love said it all. Oh, love. God's love. He so loved you and me that he gave his very best. Amen, somebody. I lost my voice, but I didn't lose my joy. Love says it all. Hallelujah. What a Savior. I want to open the doors of the church. If there's one today you feel that you need to surrender to God, and right there, while you're sitting in your home, I know some of you are watching online, but if you've never given Christ the Lordship of your life, you need to do so right now. Simple prayer. Just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come into my life on this Christmas day and save me. And God will do exactly what he said. It's in the book. It's in the book. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Y'all forgive me, I went 5 minutes overtime, but you understand. You understand. Shall we pray? Father, thank you again for your amazing love, your amazing grace. Only a God like you would do a thing like this. Only a God like you would save souls like us. Only a God like you would reach down, pick us up, turn us around, make us new creatures. Only a God like you. What love, what love. Bless us now, God. As we prepare later to serve the communion, I pray that those online would be able to join us, because we're celebrating something good, something glorious in Christ Jesus. Thank you for all your gifts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. God bless you.